Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Ayin Aleph. We're learning today Le'ili Nishmas Frida Leibowitz, Freda Bas Avigdor Halevi. And we continue to learn for Refuah Shleima for all those that never have been hurt in the Pigawim and the horrific attacks in Eretz Yisrael. We learn for the safe, speedy return of the Shvuyim, of those that are captured. And we continue to pray for the safety of our holy Chayalei Tzahal. They should be successful in whatever campaigns they are engaging in or about to be engaged in. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yishmarei. Okay, we pick up on Ayin Aleph Omen Aleph with the words Gufa. It's found at the two dots about 7-8 lines down. So Gufa, we go back on what we discussed in the previous Gemara. Amar Yehud Amar Shmuel, call Aratzos Isa Li Eretz Yisrael. We had said that compared to Eretz Yisrael, all the other nations of the world, all the other lands of the world are mixtures, are a taruvis, compared to Eretz Yisrael, which is much more pure in terms of its yichus, in terms of the lineages. So call Aratzos Isa, every place this is a dough. We explained yesterday in Rashi, a dough is a mixture of all sorts of ingredients compared to Eretz Yisrael, which is much more pure. But Eretz Yisrael itself, Eretz Yisrael, is a dough, Isa, compared to Bava, which is even more pure, as we had learned, Asar Yochsun Olubi Bavel, that Ezra brought up all the impure people from Bavel, brought them to Eretz Yisrael, where they were demarcated, but that left behind in Bavel a much more pure lineage. So Eretz Yisrael, compared to Bavel, is like the dough, and Bavel is like the very finely sifted flour. Now, Bimei Rebbe, years later, during the time of Yehuda Nasi, they wanted to change it around. Bikshu Lasos Bavel Isa L'Eretz Yisrael. They wanted to now say that Eretz Yisrael is more pure than Bavel, and therefore that Bavel should be considered like a dough compared to the pure flour of Eretz Yisrael. So Amal Hen, so Rebbe said, I'm hurt by this. Kotzim Atem Misimin Li Dein Einai. It's as if you're placing thorns in my eyes. Rashi explains, Mishum de Rebbe Mimishpachas Bavel Hoya. Rebbe's origins, previous generations, came from Bavel. Mibnei Banim Shel Hillel. He was from the descendants of Hillel, who came from Bavel up to Eretz Yisrael. Sh'ol of Ekibel Nesiyuso Shel Bnei Vesera. The Bnei Vesera recognized how great Hillel was, and they abdicated their ruling as the Nesiyim of Klai Yisrael, and they handed over to Hillel. But Rebbe came from Bavel. And if you're telling us now that Bavel is of an impure lineage, so then that impacts me personally. But he said, however, Ritzonchem, if this is what you want, Yitofel Imochem Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama. So then go and ask Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama, as Rashi says, Lashiv Chem Dover, let him answer for you what the din should be, because I'm an Ogeb Dover. No, so they went to ask Nitpal Imam Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama. So they went to ask Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama what we should do. So Amalhem, he told them, no. I myself have heard from Yishmael Rav Yossi, who comes from Eretz Yisrael, and he said, Shama Mishumaviv, he said over the name of his great father, Rav Yossi, call Aratzos Yisrael Eretz Yisrael. Yes, well, all the other countries of the world are a dough, a mixture compared to Eretz Yisrael, which is much more pure than the rest of the countries of the world, but nevertheless, the Eretz Yisrael, Yisrael above all, but Eretz Yisrael is much more impure. It's much more of a taruvus, a mixture compared to Bavel, which is much more pure. So he, coming from Eretz Yisrael, is allowed to say this, whereas Rebbe, when he says that, no, I think that Bavel is more pure than Eretz Yisrael, he's no gabba though because he comes from Bavel, but Rabbi Shmuel Rav Yossi, saying in the name of his father, Rav Yossi, who comes from Eretz Yisrael. So if he says, no, Bavel is in fact more pure than Eretz Yisrael, so one can believe that. Now, Bimei Rabbi Pinchas, in the times of Rabbi Pinchas, Bikshu Lasos Bavel Yisrael Eretz Yisrael. They want to do the same thing again and state that Bavel was actually more impure than Eretz Yisrael. So Amalem Lavodav. So Rabbi Pinchas didn't want this to be the accepted practice, and therefore he said to his Avodim, Kishani Omer Shnei Dvarim Beis HaMedrash, I'm going to go say two things in the Beis Medrash, Tuluni Barisa Virutsu, but prepare for me a stretcher, a place that you'll be able to go and carry me away quickly, because as Rashi says, Shelo Yifash Vishu Achar Dvarav, that they're going to go and want to question what he said. They're going to run after him. V'yitzorich Legalos Mishpachos, and he's going to have to say why, as is he's going to explain, that there is impurity here. And Eretz Yisrael, they're going to want to know, no, where's the impurity? Tell us, and we'll get rid of it. Voyazakin, and he was an older man, and he couldn't run away from them. So therefore, he told his servants, Tuluni Barisa Virutsu, go and bring me into the Beis Medrash on a stretcher, and be prepared, after I say my two somewhat unique dinim, that you get me out of there before they can question me. No, that's what they did. Ki'ayel, they brought Pinchas into the Beis Medrash, and the first din that he told them was a very strange din. Rashi says the reason he told them this din is Dover Shehu Tema. It was a very strange thing, Lahem, below Gila Lahem Tamo, and he didn't explain the reasoning. Kidei Shehu Trudim Bisvara Harishona Below Yachzu Achar Tamashnia. They'll be so involved in this first din that he tells them, which we'll see in a moment what it is. It's a strange din, and therefore they're going to be so involved in that they're going to not right away catch on to the second strange din, which we'll be talking about, the impurities and lineage in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore when they finally realize what he said and they run after him, he'll be gone. He'll be long gone because his servants will have taken him out of there. So that's exactly what the plan was. They brought him in, and Amalehem, the first thing he tells all the Tamidim, they smedish, ain't shchita la'ot min haTorah, that there is no requirement min haTorah to go and shech the bird. Min haTorah, as Rashi points out, is a machlokis in the Gemara in Chulin. So it says, the shofach es domo, which implies, and there is a Tanaic opinion, bishvicha b'yama, that you can just kill the bird without necessarily shechting it. Now, that's not, of course, the way we pass it. We pass it that a bird, you have to shecht at least one of the two pipes, either the esophagus or the trachea, the food pipe or the windpipe. But there is an opinion, a Tanaic opinion, that says, no, you don't have to do shechita on a bird min haTorah, it's only midrabbanan. In any event, so he told them this strange din, which they then spend some time discussing and getting involved in, and then he told them, ad yosve kuma ainibo, while they were sitting there and discussing this first strange din that he told them, amalui, then told them, kol haratzos Yisrael Eretz Yisrael. Then he told them this famous dictum, that all the other lands of the world, compared to Eretz Yisrael, are like a dough, and Eretz Yisrael is much real pure. However, Eretz Yisrael, Yisrael above, but Eretz Yisrael has many impurities in it, lineage compared to Bavel. No, before they had a chance to go and question that, they were still involved in the first din that he told them about the Shechita, so he quickly ran away with his servants taking him on the stretcher. Nitalu b'yarisa v'ratzu. And by the time they finally, the people in the Beis Medrash wanted to ask him about this, they tried to catch up to them, ratzu achrov, however, v'lo higiyu, they didn't reach him. And therefore, in this situation, the Rav Pinchas was able to say what he wanted to without having to go and point out where the impurities were. Because, again, we learned in the end of yesterday's Gemara that this is something that once they're mixed in, so we leave them mixed in, we're not mechuyev to go and root out all of those imperfect lineages. Now, Yoshua Batku, actually Yula Sakana. So, but they, on their own, the people in the Beis Medrash said, well, if Rav Pinchas knows that there are impurities, let's go check it out. So they went to go and check it out. Yoshua Batku's Rashi says, B'mishpachos Eretz Yisrael, Levar Ez Dvarav. So they started looking into the lineages of all the people in Eretz Yisrael. However, Shigiu LaSakana, now, those very rich and powerful families were concerned that their lineages might be revealed, that they weren't so pure, so they threatened them, and therefore uperishu, and therefore they stopped. So therefore they stopped because they were afraid that this would lead to them being hurt, because these powerful families wouldn't be happy about having blemishes or impurities in their lineage made public. The Gemara continues and says, "Amar Rav Yochanan, heichala b'yadenu hi." Now, this is a lashon of like a shvua. Rashi says, "Shvua beheichalo shemakom." So he's basically swearing by the heichal, and he says that we would have the ability to go and reveal what these impurities are in these families. We could do it without a sakana. However, Abu Ma'aseh, what can I say or do about this? Because Shari Gidoli Hador nitmu ba. But this would impact so many people. There's so many great people. Their lineages would, in fact, be now declared to be impure. As Rashi says, Legalos Psul Mishpachos Eretz Yisrael. He could do this, but he didn't want to. And this is based upon what we learned at the very end of yesterday's shiur from Rav Yitzchok. Sava lo ki Rav Yitzchok, that Rav Yochanan held like Rav Yitzchok. What did Rav Yitzchok say? Dam Rav Yitzchok, Mishpacha Shenitma Nitma. Once these families have become so immersed, so to say, in Klai Yisrael, and even though there are impurities there in their lineage, but those impurities aren't well known, and you'd really have to investigate and dig to find them, so we let things be. When Mashiach comes, he's going to purify those families, and it's not our obligation to go and root out every single Sufic lineage that there is. If there's a Vaday lineage that's impure, you know, if you know somebody's a mamzer, so you know how to marry them. But because there's a chashash or potential that maybe there was an impurity here, you're not mechuyev to go and root it out. And that's based upon what Rav Yitzchok says, that when Mashiach comes, he's going to purify all those families that are already intermixed. Amar Abaye, Abaye says a similar idea, Afanan Nami Tanina, we learn the same thing like Rav Yitzchok, Mishpachas Beis Hatzrifo Hoysa Be'Ever HaYarden. There was this family known as Beis Hatzrifo, Shem Mishpacha, Rashi says, that was living in the Ever HaYarden, the Richako Ben Sion Bizroa. And even though they were a pure family, Ben Sion, Rashi says, Adam Choshuv Vizroa, he was an important man, a powerful man, he said, no, these people are impure, and you can't go and marry them. Others have the Gersa, it was Bnei Tzion, people that came from that area. In any event, we learn like Rashi and our Gersa and Gemara, Ben Tzion, he forcibly kept them out of the community. He didn't let them go and be married into the community. There was another family there, Oda Cheres Haysa, another family that was there, the Kerva Ben Tzion Bizroa, and this strong-armed person, Ben Tzion, forcibly insisted that this family was not impure and that everybody should be able to go and marry them. and Kigon Elu, and in this similar way, these families, Elio Bo Litami Ulitar, Lirachik Ulikariv. Elio doesn't take kindly to these forcibly bringing in or bringing out these families from being able to marry into Klal Yisrael, and when Elio comes, Bimherb Yomeinu, he will go and be metame those that are tar, and he will be merachik those that are karov, these people that were inappropriately brought in. Now, Abaye continues and he says, kigon elu diyodin. When he says over here, kigon elu, it means those that we know that are impure. However, avo mishpacha shenitmor nitmor. But if we don't know for certain, and there was unfortunately impurities that got mixed into Klal Yisrael, and now they're accepted, so then Elio is going to come and be metar them. Mashiach will come and be metar them, and there's no need for us to go and root them out. Okay. Tana, we learned in another Braisa, Oda Acheres Haisa, there was another family that had a questionable lineage. The Lo Ratzu Chachom Legalosa. The rabbis didn't want to go and reveal the problems over here in this family to the public. However, Avol Chachomim Mosrin Oso Livnehem Ulisamidehen. But the rabbis didn't want their immediate family and the Tamidei Chachamim to marry into that family, so they would reveal it very quietly once every Shavua. Shavua doesn't mean a week, it means every 7 years. So they would transmit this information about these impurities in the lineage once every 7 years, and others say, V'yamir lo pamayim b'shavua, twice every 7 years. Amar Reb Nachman Yitzchak, that mistabro kiman d'yoma pamachas b'shavua. And Reb Nachman Yitzchak said it makes more sense that they only did it once every 7 years rather than even twice every 7 years. Because we learn in the following brisa, Kedetanya, Hareini Nazir, if a person says, I will become a Nazir, im lo agala mishpachos, I will do something that is somewhat wrong. A person, as we learned in the Masechta Nazarim, it's not proper for a person to take upon himself Naziris, but it would be preferable for a person to take upon himself Naziris rather than to be gala that there are certain mishpachos that have impurities in them. Again, if it's a vadai, so then you're mechuyev to denounce. But if it's only a suffix, you're not mechuyev to. And if a person says, I'll be a Nazir if I don't go and reveal these potential impurities, so then better that he should go do this, quote, sin of becoming a Nazir, rather than reveal those identities of those mishpachos. And therefore, yeah, Nazir, better he should become a Nazir, velo yigala mishpachos, and not go and reveal the identities of those families. Now, since we're talking here about the barest minimum of revelation, so it makes sense that this would be talking about once every 7 years rather than twice every 7 years. And similarly, we have an idea. Amma Rabba Bar Barchan Amr Rav Yochanan. Rabba Bar Barchan said the name of Yochanan that there was a shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Yud Ke Vav Ke Ben Arba Osios, which has four letters in it, and Chachamim Mosrin Oson L'Salmidehen, Pabachas B'Shavua, Yamir Lo Pamayim B'Shavua. Parallel to this discussion that we just had about the revelations of the impure lineages, so the Chachamim knew deep understanding of the shame of Yud Ke Vav Ke, the Dalit Osios shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Rashi explains that they're talking about Uperusho, the deep inner meanings of those names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Yud Ke Vav Ke, and they would pass them on to their Talmidim only once every 7 years, or possibly twice every 7 years. And here too, Amar Rav Nachum Yitzchak, it makes sense to say that it was only once every 7 years. Mistabra, Kiman D'Yom HaPam Achas B'Shavua. Why is that? Because Dichsiv Zeh Shemi Li'olam. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, this is my name forever. Now the word Li'olam is spelled deficient. It's spelled without the Vav. It just has a cholam there without the vav. So therefore, it is spelled deficiently to make it appear as if it's le'aleim kisiv. So this is something that should be hidden. In other words, only tell it over in the most minimal way necessary to maintain the Talmidei Chacham's understanding of the secrets of the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So only tell it over once every 7 years and not twice even every 7 years. Now, Rava didn't agree with that. Rava saw a limidrash b'pirka. Rava thought it's a good idea to go and give a public shiur revealing some of the secrets of the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the four-letter name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Yud Kei Vav Kei. So Amalu Amalei Ha'u Saba, an elderly man. Sometimes when we have this Ha'u Saba, it's Eliyahu HaNavi. In any event, this elderly man, or Eliyahu HaNavi, said, La'aleim Ksiv, he told him this drasha, it says, Zeshmi Li'olam, but it's pronounced in a way that could be, it's spelled deficiently, so therefore it could be pronounced La'aleim. In other words, hide this. This isn't something that should be done, given in a public drasha. Ravina Rami, Ravina said, it says in one place, Ksiv Zeshmi, and then it says, Uksiv Zezichri. And Rashi notes, it doesn't say Zeshmi Vizichri, so the fact that it says Zeshmi, that's one aspect, and Zezichri is another aspect, so therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lo Keshani Nichtov Anikra, that don't read me and pronounce me in the same way that I'm written. So the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Torah is spelled Yud Kei Vav Kei, but it's pronounced with the name of Adnos, Aleph Dalid Nun Yud. We say Ado, and then we say Hashem, Ado, or then we say the word Noi. So, Lo Kishani Nichtav Ani Nikro. We don't ever spell out the name of Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei and pronounce it in that way. So Nichtav Ani BeYud Kei Vav Kei, the Nikra, but I'm pronounced with the Aleph Dalid Nun Yud Shem of Hakadosh Baruch Hu, the Aleph Dalid. Okay, so that's the shame of Adnus as we refer to it. Okay, Tana Rabba Non Berishona Shame Ben Shtemes Viosios Hayimosu Nosel Choladam. In addition to the 4-letter name of Hakadosh Baruch Hu, which we do know, Rashi points out the 12-letter name and the 42-letter name that we're about to discuss. We don't know what those are, but they used to have a 12-letter name of Hakadosh Baruch Hu, and that would be given over to even plain people, the Choladam. However, Mishirabu Aparitzim. However, when people were paritzim, Rashi explains that these people acted in an improper way. Hamishtam Shimbo, they would then use their secrets that they knew about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's names for mundane personal benefit. So therefore, Hayomosu no Som only Litznuim Shibakuna. They would only give over this 12-letter name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu only to the most sanua people in the Kuna who had to use the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Duchening and in other parts of their service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And these Batznuim Shibakuna and these very, very sanua Kohanim, Mavlin also, they would swallow the words, so to say, when they would say them, Binimas Acheim HaKohanim, when the Kohanim would be singing their songs in the Duchening and in other places, so then they would say the Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu quietly, so to say, under their breath. And one search for Meshech to Shlita, he said over the name of a professor, I don't remember who he said it over, the name of an interesting idea, he wasn't sure that it was right, he says, an interesting idea, when the Kohanim say their bracha, and they duchen, they say, B'yahava, so this professor had suggested that it wasn't Bi'ahavo Aleph Hey Vav Hey, but it was Yud Kei Vav Kei. That was what they were saying, and that they would sing that song at that point in time while the Kohanim would pronounce the real shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this way they would keep it tsunua, only certain people knew it. Again, Rosh Hechta didn't say that this was correct, but the idea is certainly from our Gemara here that the tsunuim Kohanim, they knew the special names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they would say them while the rest of the Kohanim were singing or making a noise so that the secret names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu could not be revealed to other people who would use them inappropriately. Tanya, we learned in the Brayso, so I'm a Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon was a Kohen. Rashi brings down that we know that he was a Kohen because it says in the Tosefta and Ksubos that the once who was a Maisa, but Rabbi Tarfon, Shekideh Shalosh Meos Nashim, Bishnei Batzoros, he married off just the first stage of marriage. He married himself off to 300 women, Kideh Lachilim Shum, because he was a Kohen, and therefore there was Truma that was more available in the time of famine than people that could eat it. So therefore, he allowed these 300 women to marry him, first stage of marriage, and therefore, min hadin, min daraisa, and Arusa is allowed to go and eat truma. So b'shas adchak, they were able to eat the truma, and that's what Rabbi Tarfon did. So we see that Rabbi Tarfon was a Kohen. So pam achas, Rabbi Tarfon said, olisi achar achi imi, I went up after the brother of my mother, in other words, his maternal uncle, who was a Kohen. Now, he was a Kohen also, obviously not through his mother, but his father had married a Kohen, a Bas Kohen. So, Pamachas Olisi Achar Achi Imi Leduchan, and V'hitesi Ozni Eitzel Kohen Gadol. And I listened very carefully to the Kohen Gadol, V'shamati Shivli Hashem, and I heard him swallow up the name, so to say, of the 12-letter name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'nimas Echav HaKohanim. While the Kohanim were singing their song, so I listened to the 12-letter name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order that I should know it. But obviously, this isn't something that was transmitted to other people. Now, the Gemara says there's also a 42-letter name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amri Yehuda Marav, Shem Ben Arboy Mushtai Mosios, Ein Mosu Moso. Certainly not allowed to give that over Ella, except to Lamisha Tzenua, somebody who's a very, very Tzenua Dika person, a very humble, private person. For Anov, he has to be very humble as well. For Omei Bechatzi Yomav, he should be at least 35 years old, right? We say, Yimei Shul Seim Shivim Shana, we all ask for 120. But the standard, quote, amount is 70, so half of that is 35. A person reaches a certain state of maturity. We have the same thing by selecting somebody to be a chazan. We only want a chazan to be a certain age, ideally, because he'll daven with a little bit more of a feeling and an understanding, right? You know, teenagers think they're Superman, they're going to live forever. A person gets a little bit more mature. They realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the way that he runs the world, and everybody is going to ultimately have to face the Malach HaMavis. So therefore, he would only give over this understanding, the shame of the 42 osios, to people that had reached a certain level of life, chatziyomav, and veino kois, and not a person that gets angry, because, again, the shame of Hashem, the 42 osios, has power behind it. If a person uses it, and he uses it when he's angry, he'll go and attack other people that he's angry against. Veino mishtaker, likewise, it's a person who's not going to become drunk, because when he's drunk, he's going to use the shame of Hashem in an inappropriate fashion. Veino mamen amidosav, and it's not a person that demands to have certain things done, because if he doesn't get those things done, he's going to use the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to go get what he wants. The Chol Hayadeya Vayodo, and anybody that does know this 42-letter name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vazarbo, and he's very careful to use it only appropriately, Vamishamro Bitara, and he keeps this shame and only uses it for Tardika purposes. So such a person who has the power, and yet he only uses it in a very, very, very appropriate way, of Lamala, he's beloved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu above, and he's beloved by the people below, who see that he doesn't take advantage of this power that he has. And such a person is somebody to be in awe of, and somebody to be feared. And such a person will have both this world and the world to come, because he'll act properly in this world, but he has the power to make sure that the things that are needed to be done in this world are done properly, and at the same time, he'll have all the future in the Olam HaBa, because he uses the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly. Marketing says, Amar Shmuel. Shmuel said, Mishmei de Saba, in the name of an older man, and he said, Bavel becheskas ksheru omedes, that any family that comes from Bavel has a cheskas kashrus. In other words, as we pointed out previously, when Ezra brought up all the impurities from Bavel, so everything that was left behind was a very fine flour. So anybody coming from Bavel has a cheskas kashrus. Unless you know that unfortunately the blemish occurred. Just because they were pure at one point in time doesn't mean that Rachmana Litzlan, that something couldn't have happened, that they had an inappropriate marriage or Rachmana Litzlan adultery or some psul. So if you don't know, so then you have the right to say from Babel you have a cheses kashrus, unless you know for certain that they don't. Shara Ratzos, as opposed to all the other nations of the world, not including Eretz Yisrael, as we'll see, becheses psul, have a status of automatically being psul, that the yichus is questionable. Those that they have the status of being in psul, unless you know for a fact that they are now kosher. So it's the opposite of Bavel. The default position of Bavel is that there's a cheskas kashrus, and the default position in the rest of the world is that there's a cheskas psul, unless you know otherwise. What about Eretz Yisrael? So Eretz Yisrael, muhzak le pasul pasul, muhzak le kosher kosher. So in Eretz Yisrael, if you have a chazaka being pasul, then you're pasul. If you have a chazaka being kosher, so then you're kosher. So obviously this doesn't make any sense. Gemara says it's internally contradictory. Ha gufa kasha. It's mutually contradictory to say that it has a chazak of psul, chazak of kosher. Which one is it? Amris, first you say muhzak le psul, psul. If it has a chazak of being psul, so the person's going to psul. That implies that if you don't have a chazak of being psul, then you're kosher. So ha'stama kosher, but that's not true, because then Bahadur Tani says right after that, muhzak le kosher kosher, ha'stama pasul. Because then it says that after is only if you're a chazak that you're kosher, therefore the stam is that you're pasul. So which one is the stam? Is it kosher or is it pasul? So Rav Huna bar Techliva Mishrei the Rav. So Rav Huna, by Techliva, says the name of Rav, not a kasha, low kasha. It's not a problem. We turn to Ayin Amun Mubeis. Ayin Aleph Mubeis, Kan Lahasio Isha, and Kan Lahotzi Isha Miyodo. When do we say that is a chazaka, that it's a psul, you have to be concerned? That's before you get married. Lahasio Isha, as Rashi says, Stoma Boy Bedika. You got to check it out. You have to presume the worst. There's no cheses kashas. However, when a person is already married, so then we say there is a cheses kashas, and therefore Lahotzi Menu Isha, Shinasu Kvar, if you're already married to somebody, Mistama Lom of Kino, we don't take you out because of this suspicion or concern, but then we say the chazaka is that it's good. Amr Yosef, Rav Yosef tells us, Kol Shesichoso Bevavel, anybody that speaks Babylonian, as Rashi says, Shemesaper Beloshot Anshi Bavel, he speaks the language of the Babylonians, so Masih and Loisha, that person is presumed to be a Babylonian, the Machzik and Lemi Bavel. We can have a chazaka that he comes from Bavel, he has the dialect of the Babylonian tongue, and therefore, Mistama, that person has a pure lineage. Masih and Loisha, and you can go marry them without having to do any bedikas. However, nowadays, the Ikar Amoy, things have changed. Rashi says, Shemalam dim sichas bavel lachziko bimiuchasim. So people go learn the language, so this way they'll have the status of being considered pure. So therefore, there are fakers around, so therefore, chayshina, we have to be concerned, even if somebody speaks Babylonian, that the person is not really a truly miuchastika person. Now we have an interesting story. Ziri have called Mishtamet Minei Rav Yochanan. Ziri, who was a Talmud of Rav Yochanan, stayed away from his Rebbe Rav Yochanan because the Hava Amalei, because Rav Yochanan had been trying to get him to marry his daughter. Rav Yochanan said, "No, Nasiv Brati, go and marry my daughter." And Rashi points out, "V'lo Yochavitz," but Ziri didn't want to marry Rav Yochanan's daughter Mipnei Shehi Me'Eretz Yisrael, because she came from Eretz Yisrael. Rav Yochanan, of course, lived in Eretz Yisrael, so his daughter lived in Eretz Yisrael. V'hu Yob in Bavel, and Ziri was from Bavel, and Bavel had a more pure lineage than in Eretz Yisrael, so he was afraid to go and marry Rav Yochanan's daughter. Unbelievable. No, one day, Yom Echad, Havu Ka'oz Le'Borcha, one day Rav Yochanan and Ziri were going traveling together on a road, and Matu Le'Urkama D'Maya, and they reached a place where the road was flooded. And they reached a mini lake in the road. And what did Rav Yochanan do? So Ziri picked up Rav Yochanan, Arkevel Rav Yochanan, Akasve. He was a Talmud of Rav Yochanan. He wasn't going to let his Rebbe get wet. He put him on his shoulders and he got him through the body of water. He carried him across this body of water. Rav Yochanan tells him, Amalei, listen, Oraisa and Ksheira, Vinosin, Lok Shirin. My Torah is good for you. Rashi says, Talmidai Ata. You obviously consider yourself to be my Talmud. Did you carry me across this body of water? However, the Torah seek Shero, my Torah learning is good for you to learn from, but Biti ain't Chachavitz, but you don't want to marry my daughter? My Daitich, what's going on over here? So Gemara says, Ilema miditnan, if you're going to tell me that's what we learned in the Mishnah, our Mishnah, sorry, Yuchsin Olu mi Babel, and it included Kohane, Levi, Yisraeli, etc., etc., etc. So you're telling me that the Kohanim, Levi, and Yisrael all left? Atu Kohani Levi Yisrael Kulu Sliko. What, everyone left, and the only people that were left behind were who? So obviously Kihecha the Ishtayir Mahani, just like some Kohanim Levi and Yisrael were left behind. So too Ishtayir Nami Mihani. So too the impurities, the other seven classes that had impurities in them, not all of them went with Ezra. Some left behind as well. So why are you so certain that your lineage in Babel is so much better than our lineage here in Eretz Yisrael? So Gemara says because Ishtamitze had Amar Rabbi Elazar, that Rabbi Yochanan didn't remember, so to say, or he intentionally didn't think about this din that was said in the name of Elazar, that Lo Ola Ezra Mibabel Acha Asa Kisoles Nikia Ba'ola, that Ezra took all the impurities. He didn't take all the Kohanim leaving Israelim, but he took all the impurities. Either, as we had brought down previously in the Shia, either they voluntarily came with him or he forced them all to come with him. So yes, the people behind had a much more pure lineage than those in Eretz Yisrael. So that's why Ziri didn't want to marry Rabbi Yochanan's daughter. Ula ikla lepumbedisa lebe Rabbi Yehuda. We had in yesterday's shir as well, the famous story of Rabbi Yehuda, who was the Rosh Hashiva, the head of Pumbedisa. So Ula once went to visit Rabbi Yehuda in Pumbedisa. Chazia, he saw Rabbi Yitzchak berei the Rabbi Yehuda. He saw Rabbi Yehuda's son, Rabbi Yitzchak, wasn't married. The god of Lonasiv. He was already age of marriage, but he wasn't married. So Ula questioned Rabbi Yehuda. Amalei, my time up. Why aren't you getting your son married? After all, you should go get your son married. It's not good to have a son that's not married. So I'm a lay. Rehuda said to Ula, what can I do? As Rashi brings down over here, Ezo Isha Miuchesis. Where am I going to find a Yichestika lady for my son? That was my concern. Now, he lived in Babel, and he was concerned, however, that maybe over time, this Yichus of having pure solace in Babel no longer was true. So he said, how do I know who is an appropriate miyuchastika wife for my son? So Ula tells him, Omalei, Atu Anan, Miyadina Mehecha Ko Yisidon. Do we know where we even come from? Maybe we ourselves, Dilma Mehanoch, maybe we come from those people, Dichsid, that it says about them, Noshim Bitzion Inu Rachmanu Litzlan, the Megillah and Echa, and Nebuch, we saw this, the vicious terrorists, the Hamas, they assaulted the women. Noshim Bitzion Inu, that they assaulted the women of Tzion. Besulos Mariuda, they Nebuch took these beautiful Jewish maidlas and they assaulted them. They did horrible things to them. So it's so painful to even say it, but it's written down in Eicha. So how do we know that we're not the product of that? Are you going to tell me, V'chitema, even if that happened, Ovi Kochav, the Evid, Abba, Abba, Yisrael, Havad, Kosher, but does it turn into a mamzer, even if they impregnated Rechman, someone, they assaulted the women, so maybe, V'dilma, we don't come from those. V'dilma, Mehanach, Tichsibu, maybe we come from those other people that intentionally committed adultery. Hashochim, Almitos, Shein, Usruchim al arsosam. This is from Amos, where it tells us that the Nebuch, the people, committed adultery. As we darsh in this pasuk, Yomer Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina, Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina darsh in the pasuk in the following way: these people that we're referring to in this pasuk in Amos, Elu bnei Adam, they were men. Hamashtinim mayim bifnei mitosem arumim. So his opinion was that they would stand up by the bed, and while they were naked, they would go and urinate there. Umagali bo revo. Revo says that's not the pshat in the pasuk, because ihachi, if that was true, what you're saying, that's the sin that they did. Hand of the sieve. Therefore, what you say about such people, such a terrible thing that they did. Lochein ato yiglu b'rosh golem. You'll be led into golus at the head of all the people. Led into golus. Bishum di mashtin and mayim if nemi tosei my room, because they urinated by their bed naked. That's such an aveira. Yiglu b'rosh golem. That should be such a punishment that they should deserve because they urinated naked by their bed. That can't be it. Therefore, Rivo says no. Rav Yosi Bichnina, your pshat over here in this pasuk is wrong. El Amar Rivo. Rivo said, Eilu bnei adam she'ochlim v'shosim zeh im zeh. This is a reference to the people that are Nebuch becoming very, very friendly with each other. They sit and drink with each other. And they attach the beds one to the other, meaning, and say, oh, you sleep with my wife tonight, and I'll sleep with your wife. Rachmana litzlan, wife swapping. So, disgust their beds with such a disgusting thing that they're sleeping with their friends' wives. And that's what the pasuk is referring to. And therefore, Ula said to Rav Yehuda, how do you know that we don't come from such lineages? So Rav Yehuda says back to Ula, Amalei, nu, hechi navi, nu. So what should I do? How do I find a nice Jewish girl for my son? So Ula suggested the following, Amalei, zil basar shtikusa. Go look for a girl that and a family that is quiet. They're b'chavadik. They don't get into arguments with everybody. Ki hide the bot ki b'nei marava. And this is what they do in Eretz Yisrael. If they want to go see somebody from a yichasdik family, ki minsu bei trei b'hadde hadadi. When they see people fighting, so chazu hemi nayu dekodim v'shosik. See which one is the first one to say, listen, let's stop fighting. I'm not going to fight anymore with you. Such a person is yichasdik. Amre hai miyuchos tvei. That's the more yichasdik a person, the one that doesn't continue the fight. I just heard a beautiful story from Rabbi Ginsburg, Shlita, when the Chofetz Chaim sent in the five towns. And he said a beautiful story that this would be an idea that all of us do right now with the Tzaris and Eretz Yisrael. He said there were the two sisters that he knew that they never had a fight for 22 years. And now this week, because of what's going on in Yisrael, one sister called up the other and said, this fight, whatever it was over, that's it. This fight is over. And we must make shalom in Klai Yisrael. That's the achdus that we need to have in Klai Yisrael. So that's what Ula told Rabbi Yehuda. If you want to know who's a meyuchasdika person, if you want to know who's a special person, look for the people that don't want to go fight. Amar Rav, shtikusei de babel haynu yichusa. Rav said a similar idea, that people who are b'chavadik, they're silent, they don't always cause fights. So that's a yichasdika family. More questions is, really, Ini? For Ikla Rav Lebei Bar Shofei Chola, Rav once went to the house of the son of Bar Shofei, Ubadakru, and he wanted to check him out. Rashi says his name was Shofei, Bar Shofei, because Shemu Ish Shufa Chometz, he was one who poured vinegar, Shkmo Shofei Yayin L'Chaveiro. In any event, he was checking him out, Mestama Furi Shidduch, and you see that he was checking him out. Wasn't it my lav b'yach susa to check out his yichus? So Gemara says, no, rab l'shitaso, lo, b'shtikusa. He was seeing if they're a family that goes and avoids fights. And Hachi Karmelu, this is what Rab told people, b'doko, go check this family out. Ishoske, ilo shoske. Go and check out, are they b'chavadik? Are they quiet people? Are they people that don't always look to fight? And if there is a fight, Rachmon l'san, sometimes there are fights. Are they ones that back down and walk away from the fight? Or are they the ones that instigate and keep the fight going? Rav said another statement in the name of Rav. Imrayi saw shnei b'nei adam shemiz garm zebzev. You see two people fighting with each other. Shemetz psul yesh bi echod mehem. That one of them has a shemetz psul in them. Why not both of them? Because one walks away. So it's almost impossible sometimes for people not to fight. People are human beings. But the one that walks away, so he doesn't have a shemetz psul. The one that continues the fight, so that person, shemetz psul yesh bi echod mehem. So and that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu made these two families fight. So one of them would walk away, and they're a yichasdik family. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it that they don't get involved, they don't get married into the other family, where unfortunately there isn't good yichus because there are people that are balik tata, they're fighters. They're constantly quarreling, they're constantly causing trouble. So Rav Yehuda Amar Rav says this is about two people. A similar statement, Rav Yishuv ben Levi, in where he saw shtei mishpachos, two families, not two people. So you need to have the whole families in order to be able to do this test, so to say. Family A and Family B, and they're constantly fighting. The Hatfields and the McCoys. So you have these two families that are constantly fighting with each other. So Shem and Spu Yesh Bachasmi, and one of them definitely has this blemish in the Yichus. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it. That's why they have the fight, so they won't go and intermarry with each other. Amar Rav Papa, Saba, Mishmei de Rav, the elder Rav Papa said in the name of Rav, Bavel Bria, the people of Bavel are Briam, they're very healthy. In other words, their yichus is very, very, very pure. Rashi says, Miucheses, Venikia, it's very pure and fine yichus. As opposed to Meishon, the town, the area, country called Meishon, Mesa, it's dead. Rashi says, Mamzerim, Gemurim, Kulam, they're all Mamzerim. That's what I refer to as dead. They're all Mamzerim. The city, town of Modai, Chola, the town or state of Madai, is sick. Rashi explains, and the Gemara will say this itself in a second, Rubam Ksherim, the majority of them have a good yichus, however, Umiyutum Psulim, but there is a minority that have a pasul yichus, and this is like a sick person, Chola Halalu, Sherubam L'chayim, that the majority of the sick people will get better. As opposed to, that's Made, where they're sick, but Elam is considered Gosesis, they're considered Gosesim. And Rashi points out, because Ruban Psulim, the majority of them are Psulim, Umiyutin Sherim, and only a small percentage are good, and the Gemara explains, why do we choose these descriptions as Made is Chola and Elam is Gosesis? Because Rov Cholim L'chayim, the majority of the Cholim will live, as opposed to Rov Gosesis, and the majority of people that are Gosesis, Nebuch L'misa, they will die. So that's why these descriptions of these towns or countries are described the way that they are. Babel is very pure lineage, Meshan is a totally impure lineage, majority of Madai is pure, but there's a percentage that are impure, and the majority of Elam is impure, albeit there is a small percentage that is pure. Now the Gemara says, if you're telling us that Babel is so pure, from here till the end of the year, we're now going to discuss the definition of Babel. What are the geography, the demarcating points in Babel? Now, I'll point out right from the start that Rashi and Tosfos have a different understanding of the two rivers that surround Babel on the east and the west. You have the Tigris, the Chidekel, and there's the Tigris River and the Euphrates River. And the Tigris is to the east, the Tigris is to the east, and the Pras, the Euphrates, is to the west. And Rashi's understanding is that the waters flow up from Eretz Yisrael, from the south towards the north. Rabbeinu Tam in the Tosfos Arhecha and Hibavo says the exact opposite. The waters flow from the north to the south, and he explains why did Rashi say they go from the south to the north, because sometimes the rains are so heavy that the water actually backs up and goes the other way. But normally, they flow from north to south, and that's the way we'll understand our Gemara. And in fact, Rashi starts off an interesting lashon that Rashi uses in Dibra Masel Adnor Azok Adnor Yanai. So he says Lufi Ha Inyan Nira. It appears to me. So Rashi is not giving us the definitive word that he heard from his rabbeim. This is his understanding, and it could be wrong. Rashi didn't live in Babel, and Rashi is saying this is my understanding of this. But Lav Dafka, is this an absolute masorah that I have from my rabbeim? In any event, the Gemara now says, Ad Heichon Hi Babel. What are the dimensions of Babel that we consider Babel to be a place where the Yichus is the most pure? So Rav Amar Ad Nahar Azok. Rav says, until the river Azok, where Shmuel says, Ad Nahar Yoni. Now, what are they referring to? So here they're referring to the eastern border of Babel. Now, we just said that on the eastern side, you have the Chidekel, the Tigris River, on the east, but that wasn't the demarcation point, that it's no longer considered Babel beyond that. So Rav says, you go further until the next river, which is the Nahar Azok. And Shmuel says, you go even further than that, Ad Nahar Yoni. Okay. Now, Le'el Bidiglas Ehecha. Now, if you're looking on the northern point of view, so how far up along the Chidekel, the Diglas, how far north do we say it's still considered Babel in regards to Yuchsin? So Le'el B'diglas Arhecha, so Rav Amar Ad Bagda V'Avna. Now there's a diagram on the art scroll on the bottom in the footnotes, 71b3, where it shows you a map. Now we'll have to explain that map isn't necessarily where our Gemara is right now. That's a map a little bit later in the Gemara. But in any event, there were these two cities, Bagda and Avna, that were on separate sides of the Chidekel, of the Diglas, so the Tigris River. So that's how far north, Rashi says, up to there, but not beyond that, do we assume that it is still considered Babel for Yuchsin. Shmuel Amar, no, Rashi says it's even further, Ad Mushkani. Rashi says that Shmuel's opinion is even further, that it's still considered over there to be Babel. So the Gemara asks, Nu Velo Mushkani Bichlal, it was Ad Velo Ad Bichlal, up until Mushkani, but not including Mushkani. V'amar Rabbi Chia Bar Abba Amar Shmuel, but we have the Rabbi Chia Bar Abba said name of Shmuel, that Mushkani, this city Mushkani, Harehi Kigola Liyosin, it has the status of being like Gola. Now what is Gola? Gola doesn't mean the Gola, the exile. Rashi says Kigola means like Pumbedisa. Pumbedisa was called Gola in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. So therefore, this city of Mushkani should be Miyuchastik, just like Pumbedisa is. So if you're saying it's Ad Vilo Ad Bichlal, we got a problem. Mushkani Harei Kigola Liyotzen. So therefore, you have to understand that Elo Shmuel is telling us Ad Mushkani Mushkani Bichlal. It's Ad Ve'ad Bichlal. So that's the northern border. So we have the eastern border that we just said. Now we have the northern border. And now we're going to go and ask, on the southern border, going down, L'sachtis B'diglas. If you go down the Diglas River, we're not going to ask about the Euphrates, because the Euphrates merges into the Diglas, and then it's called the Diglas below that. So we're only going to ask on the southern border, on the downstream part, only about the Diglas, only about the Tigris. So L'sachtis B'diglas Ad Hecha. How far down does Babel extend there to be called B'yuchastik? So I'm a Rav Shmuel, Ad Apamya Tator, until the state or the city called Apamia, which is the lower Apamia, because the Gemara tells us Tarti Apamia Havian. There were two states that were known as Apamia, two cities that were known as Apamia, the upper one and the lower one. Chada Elisa, one was higher up, more north, the Chada Tasiosa, and one was further downstream, further south. The top one, Chada Kshera, the Chada Psula. The top one was Kosher, the people there were Meyuchastik, the one that was below that, it's not so miyuchistic. And these two were separated by one parsa, which is 4 mil, about 4 kilometers. The Kokopti Adadi, the people in each of these two cities, knew that their yichus was different, and they therefore were very makbid about not intermarrying from one city to the other. And they wouldn't even lend a fire one to the other because they were concerned that if you become friendly with them, so then it's going to lead to intermarriages, and therefore they didn't even have any relationship with one another, even to lend them a flame. And how do we know which one is which? Simonech, the way to remember which one is which. So Dipsulta, the one that is Pasul, is Ha Dimishtaya Meishonist. It was the lower Apamya that they spoke the language of Meishon. We said before, Meishon was Kulan Mamzerim. So therefore, that's how you remember the language, the place that speaks the language of Meishon, which is known to be of Meishon, is a zero yichus. It has all Mamzerim. So therefore, the lower city of Apamia also has a much worse lineage than the upper city of Apamia, which has the same lineage as Bavel, Miuchastik. Now, on the Pras side, the northern border, there the two rivers don't merge, right? They only merge on the southern border. So on the northern border, we now have to say, on the Pras side, and the Euphrates side, how far up is it considered that it's still Bavel from Yichus? So Rav Amar, Ad Akra Disulbakni, until the place, the city called Akra Disulbanki. And Rashi understands this right now, according to the first version, Ushmul Amar, even higher up north, Ad Gishra the Bay Pras, until the bridge that is crossing the Pras. And Rav Yochanan Amar, even higher than that, Ad Madras the Gizma, even higher up, until the Gizma Pass, where they could cross over in a place called Gizma. So the first way we're understanding it is that Rav is the strictest opinion. Beyond that, Rav says no. Shmuel is even more lenient, says it go up even higher, and then Rav Yochanan goes even higher. Now, Layit Abaye, Vitem Rav Yosef, Ad Rav. Years later, in the generations, several generations after Rav, so Abaye or Rav Yosef, they cursed people who followed the opinion of Rav in terms of saying that anybody from up to that point is considered a miyuchastika person. Now, they weren't chas v'shalom arguing with Rav. They were saying that was true in Rav's day, but nowadays it's already different. The people aren't so miyuchastik. So they were liet, they cursed anybody that follows Rav's opinion to say that up until Akra Ditul Bakni is considered a miyuchastika person. So the Gemara says, why are they only arguing on Rav? Rav is the most lenient opinion. Ah, the Rav liet, that's Shmuel, low liet. According to the simple understanding, as Rashi had explained in the first part, so Shmuel even went up more lenient. He went up even more north. So if they're going to curse those that followed Rav, so certainly they're cursing those that followed Shmuel and those that followed Rav Yochanan. So Gemara says, yeah, 100%. El liet, ah, the Rav, choshekei that Shmuel. Certainly they would argue on Shmuel as well. If they argue on Rav, who is more strict, so certainly they're arguing on Shmuel is even more lenient. That's the first way to understand this. The second way to understand this, however, is, and now you can look at that diagram on the bottom of 71b3. Here, that diagram now flips it around and says, according to the Vibayis Eimah, in fact, Leolim Adirad Laid only, Adishmul Lo Laid. Because here, according to this version, Akra de Tulbanki was the most northern one. And Shmuel's opinion of Gishra de Bepras is more south of that. It's a stricter opinion. And Rav Yochanan, the Gizma, Mavraz Gizma, the place where they could pass across at Gizma, so that's even more strict. So therefore, they were only lied if you followed Rav's opinion all the way up to Akra de Tulbakni, because in their time already, things were different. The Gishra de Bepras, Litato Havikar, the Shmuel's opinion was further south, in other words, was a stricter opinion, and therefore they only cursed those who followed Rav, but not those that followed Shmuel or Rav Yochanan. We turn to Ayin Beis Amud Aleph. Nowadays, Va'idna Hu Dalayuha Parsoi. Nowadays, they made this bridge of Pras to be higher up. They switched it around. There used to be the bridge lower down, and now they moved it up. So now it looks like the first version of Akra Ditul Bankni being lowered down, more south, is the correct way. Let's just finish up the last geographic discussion. So we said, Amalei Abayla Rav Yosi, Laha Gisa Dipras Ad Hecha. How far on the western side do we extend beyond the pras? Do we say that that's bavel in regards to yichas? So Amalei, my daitech, what are you thinking about? What are you concerned about? Mishum Biram, because of the city of Biram? Oh, the city of Biram is included. Certainly, no problem. Miyachse de Pumpadisa, mi Biram Nosve. That even the most yichasdika people in Pumpadisa are more than happy to marry people from Biram, even though it's to the west of the pras, that still was considered an area where they were very, very miyuchasdik. Finally, Amra Papa, kimachlokis liyuchsin, kach machlokis liinyan gittin. This machlok is these dimensions of Babel in regards to where it's considered most miyuchasdika places. So that same machlokis we had in Gittin in regards to where do you have to say Bifanei Nechtab, Bifanei Nechtab, when you come from Chutz Laaretz Eretz Yisrael, except from Babel, you don't have to say that. When you're going from other places where they weren't so bucky in the dinim, so you have to say that this get was written appropriately, Bifanei Nechtab, Bifanei Nechtab, so the get would not have any aspersions cast on it. But from Babel, you didn't have to say that. So Rapapa says, just the same question we had about the dimensions in regards to Yuchsin, that's the same machlokis le'inyan gittin, kach machlokis le'inyan gittin. That's Rav Papa's opinion, the dimensions are exactly the same. Rav Yossi disagrees. Rav Yossi says, no, machlokis le'yuchsin, that machlokis that we just brought down about the dimensions is only in regards to Yuchsin. Avol le'gittin, in regards to when you have to say, before ne'achtam, before ne'achtam, divrei akol, ad arba tinyona de'gishra. There, everybody agrees, there's no machlokis, Rav or Shmuel or anybody else, and it has to be until the arava Tinyana. So Rashi explains, this is Agam Shel Kohanim, this is a swamp of reeds, the Arava, and it was with Aravas there as well, Shekorin Ushra. So this second one, Tinyana de Gishra, Shnei Agam Mahayu Lamata Me'agesha, there were two of these swampy, reedy areas below the bridge, Ze Lamata Me'zeh, and it's going down until the second one, that is where there was no concern about Bifanei Nechtav, Bifanei Nechtam. Below that, that's where everybody agrees we have to be concerned about Bifanei Nechtav, Bifanei Nechtam. We'll continue more in this discussion tomorrow. This is a good break point. Again, we're learning for the safety of all of the Chayalim, for the captured civilians and soldiers, and for Refuah Shleima for all those in need, and Nechama for all of Klai Yisrael, Hashem Yirachem.